Welcome back now to the Just for Fun cast. These are the Seinfeld episode review episodes. Today we're going 159 through 150, I believe, are the 10 we're going to take a look at today. And just a programming note on the Just for Fun cast. I've thought about it, and the Just for Fun cast is going to be uncensored. So it's a little bit of work for me sometimes to watch my mouth and to hold it back. And things sometimes don't come out the way I intended them in my brain when I have to censor them through my mouth. So from now on, Just for Fun cast, if you're coming on here, feel free to talk and speak however you'd like. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm doing Seinfeld reviews. There's not a lot of reason to swear here, but just for anyone listening going forward, we're going to take the leash off a little bit with these podcasts and be a little bit more authentic and true to myself. And I'm looking forward to that. But let's get into it. This will be a quick one today. I think as we get more into the more iconic episodes that have the things that people still talk about today, we'll probably have longer episodes and get into more detail. But for now, let's take a look at these next 10. And these are my rankings. Feel free to let me know what you think. And I don't really care what you think because these are mine and those are yours. And at the end of the day, you know, it's all just for fun. And when we get up to the top, I hope there is some controversy. I hope I have some picks that maybe offend some Seinfeld fans. Or, you know, I dropped one way too low or I have an episode way too high. I hope, hopefully when we get to the meat and potatoes a little bit more, we will have a little controversy. But again, I'm not going to rank them for controversy. This is my genuine feeling on these episodes. And not many people have watched Seinfeld as much as I have. And I shouldn't say that because I'll get flooded. But it's true. So before we start here, I just want to remind everybody to check out the F1 Funcast. We're up and running again for the new 2025 Formula One season. We just put an episode out discussing the 2025 car livery reveals from last week. It was a lot of fun. Give that a subscribe at F1 Funcast. And all right, let's get into it. Let's talk some Seinfeld. So starting off today's episode, we have Season 2, Episode 5, The Apartment. This is that episode where Elaine is looking for a new place to live, and she ends up applying for a room an apartment in Jerry's building, and it was his idea at first, and, you know, Kramer tells him, lend her the money, get her into the apartment, and then, it backfires, having your ex-girlfriend potentially moving in. It gets to be too much for Jerry, and of course it works out in the end where a rock band moves up above Jerry so Elaine can't move in. And this is also the episode where George wears the wedding ring to try to, as a sociological experiment, to try to get women to be attracted to and date him. And he goes to, I think it's Tim Watley's party, and, you know, all these women approach him and talk to him and tell him about all these ways they can really make his life amazing, but it's too bad he's married with the wedding ring on. And of course we know George isn't married, but it's just funny seeing him finally having a taste of what life could be for him. But of course his experiment also backfires with that wedding ring preventing him from taking those relationships any further, which is really interesting. I do like that because I have experienced that a little bit. I've noticed something about wearing my wedding ring. I don't know if it's a maturity thing or women see you as more trustworthy or something, but I've certainly noticed more flirtatious conversations with people than, you know, if I'm not wearing it for some reason or, you know, when I was not married. So it is interesting and it could be in your own head, but I do think it sends off a signal that I am an adult and I'm trustworthy and I'm mature. And that's kind of what George was driving at here. But again, this episode kind of meh, you know, nothing really to write home about. So let's keep moving on here to see what the next episode on the list is. And of course, next I have The Stakeout, which is technically, I guess, Season 1, Episode 1 after the pilot. I think if you remember in the last episode, we said the pilot was Season 1, Episode 0. So The Stakeout, again, we don't really know these characters all that well. And the story's all right. This is where Jerry is trying to date one of Elaine's friends. He goes to the birthday party and he finds out where she works, and the stakeout is kind of staking out her work and trying to get her number and her attention through just kind of lingering around her apartment, and that doesn't really work. And then, you know, this is, it doesn't really work for me, this whole episode. It's obviously early in Seinfeld, and Kramer doesn't have a lot going on, and there's this weird, if you don't know the show, there's this weird energy between Jerry and Elaine, where she seems a little jealous of him, but they're just friends. It's not a great episode. There's no big, you know, memorable moments. I guess the reason you might think this episode could be memorable is, you know, it was the first one after the pilot, so that's something. And again, I think as I do these episodes, you could find someone, if you went online, who said any of these episodes is their favorite episode of Seinfeld all time. I've got nothing against that. If it is your favorite episode, that's great. But for me, the stakeout kind of, you know, not worth my time.
So please, a little respect. For I am Costanza, Lord of the Idiots.
Coming in at number 157 is my first kind of, aside from season 9 episodes, is my first what you might call a deep season episode, or, you know, something from the classic end. This is season 7, episode 17, The Friars Club. Again, you know, this is right in the heart of Seinfeld, and it should be a lot better episode than it is. You know, this is the one where Kramer's trying the Da Vinci sleep, where he sleeps, I think it's like 15 minutes of every hour, and he ends up passing out on his girlfriend in the apartment, and she throws him into the Hudson River in a sack, which might be a good one when, you know, that's a memorable Kramer wakes up. Let's say to Jerry, I woke up in the Hudson River in a sack. So it's good, but, you know, there's not a ton. This is where, you know, Jerry gets his jacket lost and mixed up in the with the Flying Sandoz brothers, and George thinks they're going to be like the Gatsbys with their relationships coming all together like that. This is also the one where Peterman hires the deaf guy to work with Elaine, and so he pretends to not hear assignments when it's directed at him and to be able to hear things when it is advantageous for him. And as a person with pretty severe hearing loss, I do relate to this. There are times, you know, my wife is not, she doesn't yell, but asking me to do something or talking to me and I don't want to hear it, I can just walk away and pretend I didn't hear a thing. If it really gets down to it, sometimes I'll show her I'm taking the hearing aids right out or popping the batteries right out. But in general, I do relate to the idea of using hearing loss to your advantage pretty good. But again, this episode, I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. Some people might love it. I never found it that funny. Season 7, Episode 17, The Friars Club. And that's right near the end of Larry David's tenure on Seinfeld. So bummer that, you know, such a, one of the episodes near the end of Larry's tenure ended up being such a dud, at least in my book.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
Moving on down the list here, I have Season 3, Episode 1, The Note. And the note refers to Jerry asking his dentist to write him a note for a physical therapy appointment. It's kind of a convoluted storyline where the guy gets in trouble for, you know, writing Jerry that note. There's some great George stuff in this episode where he's feeling a little worried he could be gay. And we all know George in this show is very, he's not homophobic, but he's terrified that someone might perceive him as gay. It's a very 90s mentality. But George, of course, gets the big strong male massage therapist when he's there. There's some great stuff there with George having to take his pants off and the big blonde, you know, burly looking dude trying to give him a massage. Really good. Where George, he asked him how he hurt it, and he says, Korea. You know, what did you hurt? Hamstring. Korea. He can't even speak. It's pretty good. It is pretty funny there. And this is also the episode where Kramer thinks he's seen Joe DiMaggio in Dinky Donuts. You know, he's hitting the table, making that yelping noise. So good Kramer stuff. You know, this is not an episode I hate. Obviously, it's down near the bottom. I'm not the biggest fan. The whole note storyline isn't great for me, but you know, funny stuff in here for sure. I can tell as we're going through, we're starting to get into a little bit more funny as we go. I think with Seinfeld, the bottom 5 or 10 episodes are just really down there. You know, they were really developing. You can see they're mostly in the early seasons. So as we go through here, I'm noticing already there's more and more funny stuff. It's pretty good. Good George stuff in this episode. Pretty good Kramer. The note, it's all right. Coming in at number 155 here on these rankings for me is The Ex-Girlfriend, Season 2, Episode 1. This is the one where George he wants to date Jerry's ex-girlfriend who has a psychosexual hold on him. I think it's Marlene. And that's how they say it. That's how they say it a few times. Marlene. But she's got the mental hold on George. Pretty good stuff with Jerry, his penis and his brain playing chess at the kitchen table, I thought was pretty good. You know, that's classic. Elaine, not much going on for her here. This is where her relationship with the guy in her building has deteriorated from, like, you know, saying hello to just nodding at each other in the hallway. So, you know, that's what kind of brings it down for me, is that the Elaine stuff isn't really all there. It's not really kind of what you're looking for out of Elaine. There's not much. It seems like filler to me. And also, Jerry's got the thing going on too, where Marlene saw his act, didn't like it, wants to break up with him, and he's upset because it's like, she said she can't be with someone she doesn't respect, but she's a cashier and he's a pretty successful comedian. So, you know, it's a good story. Not enough Elaine. Kramer's pretty dull in this episode. So, you know, there it is, The Ex-Girlfriend. Number 154, I've got The Statue. And really, all I want to say about The Statue is this is where Kramer, I think, really starts to become Kramer. This is the episode where the guy steals the statue from Jerry's apartment that George was going to give to his mother because he broke it when he was a kid, blah, blah, blah. But this is the episode where Kramer finally gets out of the building. And he does this whole Joe Friday thing where he goes over to the guy's house and throws him up against the wall and, you know, takes back the thing. And the whole episode, he's kind of plotting and trying to come up with something to do. And we should get him. Let's get him back, you know. So I think it's really good Kramer in The Statue. And this is, you know, Ray and Rava. Elaine is trying to get their book published. And Jerry is getting his apartment cleaned by Ray, and that's where he steals the stuff. But really what this is memorable for me is Kramer. Kramer getting out of the house and Kramer kind of finding his footing out of the building and contributing in what we know is a more Kramer-style way than he did in the first season and a half. There was a lot of Kramer kind of slumping around the building, being kind of a bum, you know, all that. And this is where that starts to change a little bit. So The Statue, yeah. Next up on the countdown is The Stock Tip, which is Season 1, Episode 4. And, you know, these early episodes are just tough. They're just tough to get through. Like, Kramer's entire storyline here is really about the rollout tie dispenser, you know. And maybe you could say this is the seed of Kramer always having these wacky ideas to make money and these things, but really nothing ever comes of it. And, you know, George gets the stock tip for a way to televise opera. He does a little insider trading. And the thing I do like about this is George, cocky George, when he's got, I think, like $8,000, he's buying everybody lunch. He's, you know, saying, what, it's a Hyundai. Pretty good George. Kramer's got nothing going on. It's really not not great. Jerry is in on the stock with George, but he sells early and loses money, and George holds on. You know, there's some good stuff where they're thinking they're going to ride out the storm, going down with the ship, losing all their money. But this is one of those rare episodes where George comes out on top. So for that, it gets a few points out of me.
You know, this whole place is going downhill.
Number 152, I've got The Suicide. This is where Jerry's dating the guy's girlfriend, the guy's in a coma, he's dating Martin, I believe, and, you know, it's kind of a sensitive episode, and I don't know if it would get written today with the whole suicide storyline, and he tried to kill himself because he thinks his girlfriend's cheating on him with Jerry, and then he's in a coma the whole episode, and Jerry and his girlfriend are kind of getting together. We get a little bit of Newman here, which is great. We get Newman with the Drake's Coffee Cakes, and he's trying to sell out Jerry, telling him he's going to rat him out as soon as Martin wakes up from his coma. But, you know, overall, this isn't an episode I find too much joy in. There's decent humor, but it's kind of a morbid idea and pretty sensitive to that. So we're just going to move on past this episode and keep on going down the list.
I know less about women than anyone in the world.
So, number 151, I have The Stranded. And I, you know, this is the first one where I look at it and I say, I like this episode. And I don't know why. You know, this is, they all go out to the party on Long Island. And there's funny stuff with Jerry and Elaine coming up with code signals. If people are annoying them at the party, they're going to pat their head to try to get a signal. We've all been there, right, at a party where someone's talking to you. They've got you cornered and you just want to get out of there. George hooks up with a coworker. They drive home in Kramer's convertible, and everyone gets sick. But then, so this episode gets weird at the end, where the guy who hosted the party on Long Island shows up at Jerry's apartment and gets a prostitute. Like, what are we doing? And drinking, and he's trying to get Kramer to drink with him, and it's just this awkward, not very Seinfeld moment. And then at the end of the episode, you know, it's like, The cops come in and bust Jerry and bust the guy, and Kramer is there. It's just very strange, not too Seinfeldian. I like the first half of this episode. The second half with the stealing the cough medicine from the car ride and the prostitute at Jerry's apartment. I don't know. It just doesn't feel Seinfeld to me, so that's why it's so low on this list. And lastly here on this... on this edition of the Seinfeld Rankings, we are at number 150, and I have Season 8, Episode number 7, The Checks. And this is, we are starting to get into the good stuff here. This is, you know, Jerry's getting, he's got the carpal tunnel from signing all the super terrific happy hour checks he's endorsing, and there's a lot of miscommunication about him being down on his luck, and Elaine's boyfriend feeling pity for him and trying to buy him, you know, furniture. And this is where the Asian tourists, Japanese tourists, come and stay with Kramer, and they go to the Rainbow Room and they're sleeping in his chest of drawers. It's pretty good. The checks, I like this episode. I wouldn't say it's, you know, the best. I don't love the Carl Farben stuff. I think it's a bit of a miss for me. And, you know, the Desperado and Elaine's witchy woman, and it's a little much for me, or it's, I guess it's underwhelming. I wouldn't say a little much, but just a little underwhelming. I do love the Japanese tourist staying with Kramer, sleeping in his chest of drawers like it's a bed and breakfast. Really clever. And then Jerry, of course, smashing up the drawers to try to save them, but it looks like he's trying to kill him. It's just great. So there we have it. Those are the next 10 in the Seinfeld rankings. Keep an eye out. We'll have another 10. I don't know if anyone cares. Anyone's even listening to this, but I am practicing my podcasting. If you want to check out the F1 Funcast, find us over there at F1 Funcast. And if there's a topic you actually want to talk about and come on and do a proper episode of this podcast, just look me up. Give me a shout at F1 Funcast on Instagram, and we can talk about anything you'd like. Until next time. That's going to be it for the Just for Funcast. Have a great day, everybody, and talk to you soon. This has been a Funcast production. Our theme song is Sport Rock Trailer by Audio Coffee Music. Check them out at audiocoffee.net. The F1 Funcast is not affiliated with Formula One or professional motorsport in any way, and this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Contact us at f1funcast@gmail.com.